The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs. Mark and Sarah talk about songs.
Oh, we certainly do talk about songs. Thank you, Laura, for the truth that you tell in your intro theme, recorded with Jack. I am your co-host, Mark Blankenship, and welcome to episode 241 of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. Joining me, as ever, is the person who makes me say, at last, every time we get to talk. It's Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
I mean, that's a great first dance song at a wedding, and what better reference from my pod husband. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 241. Today we are talking about Etta James, as you probably gleaned, but a perhaps lesser known track from her, what I would call her Mama Wants to Get It In section of her songbook. This song is... Well, okay. I have a lot to say about the song. I think we should hear a clip first. I ended up clipping... It's not a long song. So I ended up clipping like half of it because I wanted to get the full hormonal range of this, of her situation, into our ear holes. So here is a clip from Etta James, Something's Got a Hold on Me.
Tell you right now that I believe, I really do believe that something's got a hold on me here.
You know, it's not hard to imagine a blue interpretation of the line, I've got a different walk.
yeah, it really isn't. Also, girl, that's not love. That's not love you're giving me right now. I guess I didn't have to do such a long clip. It's not like Etta James's instrument is a secret, but this song is a masterclass in like... intra song switching between, like, she starts out with this like sultry, dickmatized, immediately post-coital like croon, but then once you hit the chorus you're into this raunchy, like, feeling cute, freshly fucked mode. And everything about it, we have talked about this in the context of other songs, I think Teenage Dream from Katy Perry was the most recent time, of pop songs that not only convey that the singer is DTF and in fact has just effed, but also is able to like project that sexy like the joy of intimacy, confidence onto the listener. Like, I feel hotter every time I've listened to this song. It's really magical that way. And I love Etta James. I have her greatest hits. I play it all the time. But there is something just like, just this puts you in like a good mood and makes you feel cute, this song. And that's really an amazing trick. And she's the best.
That is such a nice way of describing it. It's some songs just make you feel cute. Yeah. It's true.
I mean, yeah, that it's like, I don't know if I should go with a skirt this short. I'm 48 and a half years old. You know what? I just listened to Something's Got a Hold on Me, and I'm going to go for the 15-inch mini skirt. I'm doing it. So thank you, Ms. James.
I want to echo your strong approval of the structure of this song, because I feel like it's so easy to imagine the visual where at the very beginning, which at the very, very beginning, it's just her singing a cappella. That's where we see you're just still in bed and you're like, oh, shit. And
totally.
And then you're like stretching and you're getting up out of bed. And then by the time that the music kicks in, you're walking down the street. And this is yet another example of backing vocals doing a great job within a song. Because you can imagine just high-fiving all your girls and being like, was the dick good? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. And that's like, I want that. Who wouldn't want to celebrate that?
Yeah, or like you go to brunch and your friend is sort of like subtly, without saying anything, just sort of like trying to fix the back of your head because it's a total nest. And it's like, you're not even trying to hide it, are you? And you're like, no.
No, that why would I?
7 inches of heaven. So, yeah, I mean, there's actually not a whole lot else to say about this song qua the song. Like, it's fun. It's what Stephen King would call a rave up. I hate that term, but it is that. But it's like that. I think that we may be here in the 21st century in a better position to appreciate some like 60s, sort of like turn of the 50s and 60s R&B joints that were like extremely overtly celebrating that like post-coital like hum,
mm-hmm.
as it were. But, you know, when you're listening to it like on the oldie station, you're sort of accustomed to thinking of songs from that era as quite like squeaky, clean Eisenhower, nobody has genitals, but that's absolutely not what was going on in the culture. And especially this suffused with confidence and happy to share that feeling from an artist of color is like that it lifts it up even further, I would say.
Completely agree. And it matters too that Etta James is such a gifted interpreter of songs, including songs that she wrote herself, like this, that she's got the voice to make you hear both the fatigue that comes from a good night of writing and the pleasure that comes from kind of wiping the sleep out of your eyes and going through the sun and being like, whoa, what just happened? I mean, she's got so much complexity in her voice. And hearing a song like this next to the aforementioned At Last, which is so such a different vocal performance from her, mm-hmm. it really underscores what a fucking talent she was. And I really think that Etta James, despite her unquestionable fame, is still an underrated vocalist.
I think that's true, because I think that she manages to wink at the idea that this is love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, oh, it must be love. Like, well, love might be present, but that's again, it's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about D and V, and that's fine.
And the other thing I love about this song and songs from this era is you really do get the sense that everyone was in the room at the same time looking at each other and enjoying themselves as they made this record.
Yeah. And I'd like that between takes, the backup vocalists are like, love, eh? Oh, sure. But I love that her she really does have this range in her catalog. Like Pushover is another fun song that she's sort of that's more the defiant, like defying the fuckboy mode for Etta James. Mm. And then there's some real maudlin shit, like I forget the actual name of this song, but it starts with "Wait, wait, stop the wedding." It's like, oh boy. And then "At Last," which when you listen to it again, like it's sort of easy to dunk on it as a like as being basic, I guess, but it there is like the grieving of prior love in that song, and the relief of waking up from a bad dream is in that song. And there's just there's a lot there that I think we maybe have heard it so many times that we don't pay attention to it. And
well, listen, I dance with that. I dance with Andrew to that song at our wedding because I know how familiar it is to everyone in the culture, but I didn't care. I think that song is so beautiful. It's so romantic. And that sense of relief, yes, that comes, like, oh my God, I finally, I don't have to be alone anymore. Just the soul deep relief that comes, that she communicates so well in that performance. I felt like that was the perfect thing to celebrate. Like, I just, and it's not just the, that's a sort of a selfish way of interpreting it, but it's the at last, like this thing I've been yearning for has arrived, and you just, you feel so grateful, your knees buckle with the gratitude of it. And I felt like she captured that really perfectly. And that's the reason that song is so familiar, is because it, yeah, gets at something real.
Yeah. And it's not this weird, like, I have a relative, you know, bless her heart, et al. And this marriage is now in its like 32nd year. So clearly this wasn't a problem. But their first dance was "When a Man Loves a Woman." And I'm like, did anyone say anything about, yeah, this before? Like, that's just not. And that happens a lot. It's not the only wedding, but it was the first time. I was like 17 and I was like, couple notes.
You know that this is about a woman who's terrible to her man, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Just
and that it's like possibly a mutually abusive and definitely toxic situation. Cool, cool. Best of luck.
Andrew was once at a wedding where the first dance was to the Kenny Rogers song "We've Got Tonight," which is about having an affair.
No.
Like,
okay. No. No.
Speaking of familiarity, Sarah and listeners, if you were listening to pop songs around about 2011, "Something's Got a Hold on Me" might sound awfully familiar to you for a couple of reasons. First, Christina Aguilera sings this song in Burlesque, which, for those of you who have been listening to the podcast Extra Hot Great for a very long time, might remember is the theme of the episode that I was on when I became the first ever valued guest to win Game Time. Neither here nor there. Who's counting?
Mark but is. Then, Mark's counting, just so we're clear.
And then in 2011... the now deceased DJ Avicii used the opening of the Etta James song as the baseline of a dance track called "Levels." It's the part where she sings, "Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. I get a feeling that I never, never knew." He chopped that up and put it into his track. And then Flo Rida and the now defamed Dr. Luke took the "Levels" track and used that as the base for a song called "Good Feeling." So Etta James was sort of sampled. It's a palimpsest of sampling, because Etta James goes to "Levels," both go to Flo Rida. Flo Rida has a top three hit in the United States and a number one hit in the UK with the song "Good Feeling." So I actually thought that this song was called "Good Feeling," but it isn't.
And then I put it in our doc as "It Must Be Love." Like, I don't know what the block is with us and the actual title of this song. I need to go into the, I forget what it's called, but that online database that just tells you everything that was sampled and by whom and where. And like Etta James shows up in a lot of 90s hip hop. And then she sort of had an re-efflorescence in like the turn of the aughts and teens, like you were talking about. But Def Jeff samples her. I think Tribe Called Quest, I think, samples her a couple of times. And there's something about, there's something like game recognizing game about that. Because it, when you look at the other R&B titans who tend to get sampled over and over, it's because these are great storytellers that hip-hop storytellers can use to shortcut a feeling or a mood. And it's like, why reinvent the wheel on this car that Etta James is already driving while not wearing underpants? And that is fine. Good for her.
It's true, because she packs so much narrative into a simple phrase that you really can build a lot off of the back of one tiny sample of hers.
It's true.
And, you know, we've talked about Christina Aguilera on this podcast before. I believe Ain't No Other Man was the Christina song that got its own episode.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, Sarah, if you remember her rendition of this song in Burlesque. I admit that I didn't until I re-listened to it for this episode.
I remember that my arm, it was one of those songs where I folded my arms and was like, oh, really? You're coming at the queen? You best not miss. And then by the end of the song, I was like, yeah, that's good. That's good shit.
Yeah.
Her I feel like good.
This is, to me, the lane where Christina Aguilera does her best driving.
Yes.
And she's just got the pipes and the interpretive ability to make a song like this sound good. So I'm going to say thumbs up to you, Christina. Obviously, Etta James is original, indispensable version of the song, but Christina Aguilera, she stepped correctly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that in certain instances, and I think we talked about this in Xtina's dedicated episode, she can seem a little focused on the technique over the emotion. And she's like, she's not using the technique to interpret so much as she's using the technique to show off the technique.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there are certain artists / original songs that like sort of hold her by the wrists and are like, no, do it yourself. What are you feeling? And make her come out versus just the voice, which can.
Yes.
It's not that it leaves me cold. Like, her instrument is gorgeous. She's a good interpreter, but like, you're often aware that it's being interpreted, if that makes any sense. And not
there's something about, you can hear that a singer is maybe thinking too much about hitting the notes exactly right.
Yes.
Like, and there's hitting the notes, and then there's using the notes to tell a story. And those are not always the same thing.
Right. And I think Christina's version of this is her versus a version, which is,
I agree,
it's always nice. I mean, I don't know. Like, we also talked about Moves Like Jagger on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
And I think that her section of that song is actually her. Like, it's actually not a completely perfect, poreless vocal like you usually get from her, but she's actually like having fun and just like doing the thing.
Totally.
It's just like this, you know, one-off job that she's like, all right, I'll come do that. You're cute. Sure, we'll do that. And then it wound up feeling much more just her. I don't know. Natural,
yeah,
I guess.
It felt natural, immediate, spontaneous,
immediate,
all of those things that one wants.
That's it.
And it occurs to me that this is maybe why one can feel the absence of that in some of her songs, because you want it all the time. And then Etta James is the type of singer who, at least to my knowledge of her catalog, which admittedly is not exhaustive, has never recorded a song that didn't feel spontaneous. Even if it was clearly she's got technical mastery, but she never made it feel like she was just going in and making a machine that we call music.
Right. And even the songs that are sort of like a skip for me, like In the Basement, which I think was literally recorded in a basement at a party, like the one she's describing. So it's like that, you know, on Broadway feel that it's like, let's get, what's the word? Diegetic? let's get diegetic crowd noise. So that song is like trying, I think, a little too hard to be a party anthem. And she's doing a little too much of that like Bobby Blue Bland growly thing. But it's also like it's a thought through and complete emotional thought. It just might not be a thought that you're interested in engaging with comparatively. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that there's never, I think with Etta James, there's never that like focus on showing off the voice because she's so confident in what she can do with it that she just does it and you don't feel that separation from the content.
Well, there it is. And if she wants, I'm trying to make some joke about flooding my basement. I'll workshop it and get back to you.
You know what? I think you're good.
Drop it till your soul feel free.
Yo, man, give me that microphone and sit down, cause a brother like me is known to get down. So get up on the rhyme and you'll find it's designed to give sight to the blind and enlighten the mind.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access to the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
Right, so I had to shed some light, and now me and the kids all right. He heard give it here and had no idea I get dumb. I be dropping rhymes on drums.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.